This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers, the first episode of 2019. Ah, yes. And joining me this week is TFG1 Mike.
And hello.
Ryan.
I like how you sounded less enthused than I usually do. That's impressive. Congratulations.
It takes years of practice, but he's mastered it.
Apparently.
Yes, I've mastered it, just like Galvatron.
Don't bring back Blasphemy from 2008. Bad pun. Anyways, So we have a multitude of things today. Some of them interesting news, some of them bashing the news, and some of them just actual interesting topics.
Yes.
So without further ado, Toys R Us is returning as True Kids Brands, which sounds even more ridiculous than Toys Backwards R Us.
And they're also going to be anywhere. What are you guys talking about? Where did Toys R Us go?
In the
U.S.?
They're
still here. They're everywhere. What are you guys talking about? All right.
So anyways, they think that they will be able to solidify their U.S. retail strategy for their brand as their current president of whatever they're calling themselves this week. They're saying, I can't say today what that exact strategy is. We do know that we have an omni-channel approach that is tech immersive and experiential with a small footprint. In other words, kiosks or something to that nature.
Yeah, I saw a meme about this. I think it was last year when they were going to call it Jeffrey's Toy Box, which is the worst name ever. But basically, they were little kiosk boxes inside of Walmarts.
They were in Kroger's around here.
Mm.
They actually
maybe you guys
happen.
Should stop electing people who make money off of predatory circumstances, buying up companies and then killing them because you have loopholes in the... Oh, never mind.
In the tax system? Government for the lose.
To be fair, I mean, I'm a little bitter at the states in general. You guys are trying to drive our drug prices up again. I mean, it's not working because we ignore your imbecile president. But also, almost everybody I know who's American is currently unemployed because your economy is absolute shit. So,
hey, I'm among those
that.
People.
Yeah, sorry about that, by the way.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm working for myself now. I'm done with that. Yeah, because that seems about the only way to go anymore. I've been laid off twice in 7 months, so it just sucks. So
and I can't get a job to save my life that would make enough money for my wife and I to survive, and her medical issue. Neither one of us can get a job, so
yeah, it's all right. I don't get calls either, so.
And all my medical issues are paid for, and I get paid paid $33 an hour now, so.
Man, I wish I got paid that. I've never seen money like that. Although, I will be freelancing now, so. In a variety of graphic website and writing articles. So.
Whoa, I don't need to hear about graphic websites.
Graphic websites.
The family show.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you people?
Or is
yeah,
it?
The Toys R Us stuff, though, is really depressing. I mean, I can't imagine. I'm kind of going through this, too, with GameStop as in dire straits as well. And I can't imagine a scenario where, like, I remember as a kid, just you walk into the toy store, you know, and it's just exciting, especially when you're young. I can't imagine growing up without that. I think it really sucks for the current generation of kids kind of growing up that, you know, your toy store is going to basically be like Walmart or Target or, you know, one of the box stores. Mm-hmm. It's not the same, though. It's,
no.
You know, there was a feeling when you want, maybe I'm nuts, but I don't know. There's a feeling when you walk into a Toys R Us and you're just surrounded by toys and, you know, Jeffrey and everything else.
As an adult, I would not want to be surrounded by Jeffrey at all, but you're right. And it is one of those things where that's an impact of our childhood from the late 70s, early 80s into the 90s, where you could go to a specific store that was nothing but toys, and it was absolute magical bliss. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah, it feels like, I mean, we're a little older for that, but it feels like the 90s and the 2000s were kind of like the heyday.
Mm.
Maybe it's just from when I sort of grew up, but those were the years that the toy stores and stuff just seemed really busy. There just seemed to be shelves full of everything.
Absolutely.
Well, they had toy shelves full of everything when they closed too. It's just that nobody could afford to buy those toys.
Yeah, it's the same with, I just watched, and this is on topic to this, but it's also off topic as well. I just watched one of Company Man Mike's recent videos. He does like history on various companies and things like that. He just did a history of like Redbox and, you know, how they have kind of cornered the market on DVD rentals, where in part of the video he says, you know, it used to be a magical thing going into a Blockbuster or whatever video store you had and looking around and seeing all the movies, and same thing applies to the toy store. I mean, I'm sorry, Walmart and Target toy aisles, it's not the same.
I mean, yeah.
It's not the same, and they're also abysmal. Like, I
mean, it depends on your area. Like, we have good and bad Walmarts here too.
No.
Like, you know, some of them are well stocked, some of them the employees care. You know, it's set up well, that kind of thing. Other ones, it's like a warehouse where they just kind of throw everything.
Mm. Yeah, that's not good.
I don't know. It sucks. And it's really depressing when you consider that no matter what we kind of talk about, Toys R Us was doing reasonably well financially and everything else. They got purchased by somebody who would make more money gutting them and selling them than it would keeping them open, which, by the way, is a broken system, but that's a topic for another show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very pleased that the Canadian one is considered a separate company. I don't know that they're going to be able to survive without the backing of the U.S. one, but I've heard and been told that they're successful, so hopefully that's enough.
It's hard to say, because you can buy everything online now at this point, and to have a fully stocked store and things, especially stuff that could end up being shelf warmers, which a lot of the movie stuff is, it's kind of hard to judge, and especially with the fact that, like you mentioned before, with everybody being unemployed, it makes it very difficult, and that also kind of goes in with hand in hand with why Hasbro and Mattel's profits for the last year were in the, you know, like dropped, you know, anywhere from 5% to 13%.
Yeah, it's interesting how different things are, even though, you know, our borders only not very far away. And like the movie stuff, at least in terms of the Bumblebee movie, man, it moves well, or at least it moved really well here, especially in the lead up to Christmas. It was nuts. You couldn't find stuff on the shelves. It actually, I mean, it was moving better than Siege was, and Siege was moving pretty well, so.
It's a sad day all around for all of us, and if they come back, they come back. If they don't, they don't. I mean, like Steve just said, we now live in an online world, and I don't know. I see things all the time. And again, like you said, Ryan, this could be a whole other show thing, whatever, about like children's toys and things like that. And most of these marketing gimmicks, I'm like, why would I give my kid that? Why would I buy my kid that toy? That's not, no.
Depends on what it is. It's just a lot of it is, we can get into this with the Cyberverse stuff as well, too, that the marketing has changed.
Yeah.
Cyberverse, though, is a very sort of 80s style in that it's got a cartoon series, an animated series, and it's got a lot of the same stuff for the same kind of backing that the Generation 1 had, although it's still very different.
Yeah.
It was true. I mean, but at the same time, like, I don't know. For instance, a lot of the Masterpiece stuff I would love to get my hands on. I just can't afford it. Because, like, every one of them, the price keeps going up higher and higher.
So, and yeah, higher. We're getting into the Black Arachnia then. Segue into that. It looks gorgeous, but yeah, how much it's going to cost? The Dinobot was worth it. It is brilliantly made. It's a contender for my favorites of the Masterpiece figures I've got. And the accessories with them are fantastic. But on the other hand, yeah, it might have been nice if they had made fewer of the accessories to keep the price down so more people could afford to pick them up. With Black Arachnia, I'm curious if there's going to be, you know, what there will be for electronics or that kind of thing. Are they going to try something similar? Or because I have very little interest in the new Masterpiece Optimus Prime just because he's nice, but he's not $400 more than the Masterpiece Primes I already own and love. Nice.
Yeah.
I don't mind if it's a new character and we're probably not going to, like Dinobot, and probably not going to see it again in the Masterpiece line, nor is there much potential for repaints with him. I'm more okay with that. But redoing like yet another Optimus Prime, I don't know. So as they continue with the Beast Wars stuff, like Black Arachne is a great one. Megatron is great. I'll pick up those. But I have no real interest when they keep redoing the other characters, especially with the third party market around too.
Yeah, I mean, the only one I could see having not necessarily a redo, but a continuation for Masterpiece outside of actually redoing others or repainting or reissuing others is Cheetor. Because at least through Beast Wars, he had three different forms. He had his main form, he had his Transmetal, and then Transmetal 2. And then obviously the Beast Machines form, if they ever get around to that. But, I mean, the rest of them, I kind of understand it. It's like, hey, here's a new Optimus Prime Masterpiece figure. That's more for, like, I guess the kids of today versus going out and trying to find an MP01 at a decent price.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It may be for people who just, for whatever reason, weren't collecting when the others came out. No, that's a good point. I'd be curious to know, you know, what it sells versus Dinobot. Or Dinobot obviously sold well. I mean, it took them no time to do a reissue.
Yeah.
I expect Masterpiece Beast Wars Megatron. Boy, that's a mouthful. I find a shorter way to say that. But anyway, I expect that's going to sell really well because I think, you know, he's another extremely popular character for good reason. The Black Arachnia, I don't know. I always liked her. Good character, obviously, and I love Beast Wars.
I just, with her, I want to see the actual, like, the pictures that we have are, like, I guess, the unpainted, the prototype ones.
Yeah.
I want to see the paint. And the only other thing with her, if they did do, like, an alternate, like, you know how they do MP01B, like, to make Optimus the black version? For her, they have to make her a silver version to reference that one episode of Beast Wars where she turns silver.
That may come as a repaint later on, just as a method of doing it, just to milk extra money out of her. Kind of like they've done with Cheetor with his basically Ravage or whatever his name was, version of his character. I know it wasn't it, but something to that nature. But this will be the first accurate Black Arachnia we've ever gotten.
Yeah.
From Beast Wars.
Yeah.
Which will be nice. Because the closest we've gotten is that universe, almost like Transformers animated mixture figure from Japan that came over and the Takara version, and it kind of was the closest we've ever gotten to an actual legit Black Arachnia.
I'll be curious to see the beast mode too, just because there are shots from behind her available as well too. She has next to no shell, so I'm curious about the transformation. That's one thing that's always been kind of fun for me with the Masterpiece figures, is seeing how they actually transform. Usually takes me like an hour or two to do it, but I'm always curious to see the engineering and everything that goes into it. It's fascinating to me just because I love G1. I hate how it always sounds like I'm crapping on it, but let's be honest, they were kind of bricks. Like, you know, you look at something like Broadside, where his entire back was an aircraft carrier because he transforms into an aircraft carrier.
I think the sleekest G1 figure that I ever really had was Astrotrain. The original G1 Astrotrain was the backpack on him was not as bad as a lot of some of the other ones was.
It's true. I'd argue, like, in terms of representing their animation, that kind of thing, even the original Optimus Prime is pretty solid. I mean, you can actually move his elbows on like half of the G1 figures. Yeah. His shoulders move. He had knees. He's been reissued for $70 Canadian without a trailer, which is absolutely insane recently.
It's invisible. You can't see him now.
Talking about, especially, and it's weird whenever you can find the commemorative one for not a whole lot, too.
Yeah.
That was an odd choice in terms of reissues, but oh well.
That's one of the reasons why if I ever got any version of Optimus, I would want probably the MP04 because, or something that's like that. Because even as a kid, I was never impressed with G1 Optimus.
Really?
Because his back is open. Like, they could just shoot right into his windshield. Like,
the Masterpiece Prime is so much better.
Supposed to have an imagination as a kid. Come on.
Yeah.
And yes, the Masterpiece.
And my imagination would say that Megatron shoots his little orange cap into Optimus's back and it goes through his windshield.
And yes, the Masterpiece Prime is still, in my opinion, the best one, and it's probably my favorite figure I've got still. It's close. There's a few. Masterpiece Dinobot I love. Mastermind Creations Tarn/Coltor is amazing. Perfect Effect Warden, which is IDW Fort Max, is amazing. I had a lot of Canimus, which is IDW Hot Rod, is gorgeous. He oozes. By the way, the IDW Hot Rod, quick note, I picked up the repro labels for him. And actually comes with the smirking Autobot insignia, if you want to put it on, that if you pay enough attention in the comics, shows up occasionally on Hot Rod, usually when he's very proud of himself.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. Also, I mean, he comes with an alternate head that is also smirking in that cool kind of way. Anyway.
Very cool, very cool.
But yeah, Black Arachnia looks great. The pictures come from Japan. And it's her first generation, like the other Beast Wars Transformers they've done in Masterpiece style, it's her first generation version that she was until middle of season 3.
Yep.
And I love the first generation, like season 1 Beast Wars figures. I can't wait until they get to the Transmetal ones someday, which will probably be when we're in our like 50s, 60s.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. So far, I mean, Dinobot I prefer his original version.
Yep.
Megatron, it's close. I like all three versions of him. Primal. Poof, probably second or third. I prefer his Transmetals. I don't know.
For
Cheetor's tough too, actually. I think I like first and third for Cheetor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like the second version a little bit, but that third version, that Black Cat kind of version of him,
yeah.
Oh, I love.
Really like it. Yeah, it's one of my.
Love that. Feral Scream two-parter is one of my favorite
nice.
Two-parts episodes from Beast Wars.
Yeah, that version of Cheetor is one that I always have displayed front and center, no matter where I move to. So
the
that
one
is
thing
one of
about
my favorites.
One thing about Optimal Optimus or Optimus Primal is that I would want for if I was getting a Masterpiece Primal, I would want Optimal Optimus because they would have to do all four modes.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
So, I mean, it's inevitable that we're going to see the others. I'll be curious to see how Tarantulas works out in the Masterpiece line.
Yep.
Desperately want Masterpiece Waspinator. That's an absolute must.
As long as he comes like a bunch of Legos. Like
I was going to say, he should be totally detachable.
Exactly, yeah.
Or at least come with spare heads or parts he can leave around him or something.
Yep. Yep. Put him into a giant crushed box, you know, compact it up. On that note, also, if they ever do an Inferno, his head has to pop off like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
I'm trying to think of what he needs something to get the whole royalty / queen thing across. And
he needs a voice box, and they need to get
James. If they want electronics, on one.
Yeah,
you're talking like, some serious dough.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, well, they're already $400 anyway.
I mean, yeah, it's like, you know.
I don't know what they are in the States, but a Masterpiece Dinobot was $400-something for me after tax and shipping and handling, so.
Yeah, I think it's roughly about the same here.
It's brutal when the third-party Masterpieces are much cheaper than the actual ones.
Yep.
So, I don't know if you guys have seen any of this whatsoever. Transformers Cyberverse, they've confirmed a season 2, and it's the thing between Cartoon Network, Hasbro Studios, and Boulder Media Limited, also doing the Rescue Bots Academy. Have you guys seen Cyberverse?
Yeah, so what's crazy is especially the back end of the first season is way better than it has any right to be. the show could be not good. It's surprising. Yes, Basil. He agrees, apparently. Why do I podcast with cats around? It's not I can get rid of them anyway. But anyway.
You should hear Steve's come up on the mic sometimes.
My cat gets mad at me for doing sounds, and she starts coming up. She goes, meh.
Yeah, right now, just to end the Dinobot thing, I know we've already moved on from that, but I looked at it at BBTS. It's $280, and it's on pre-order. So you guys kind of got raped over the coals for that one.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you're talking that's before any shipping and handling and duty and everything else. So about $400 is not horrendous.
True.
Remember, shipping something that size and weight costs a lot of money, which is annoying.
Definitely. Definitely.
Very true.
I work in the post office. I should know. But yeah, Cyberverse, I don't know. It's. I haven't picked up any of the toys. I see them around. I have no real interest in them. I mean, it's not directed towards me. But for a show that could easily just be a soulless crank this out and get kids to buy it kind of crap fest.
Mm-hmm.
It's way better than it should be. It reminds me a lot of the old, not necessarily in terms of quality, but it reminds me a lot of like Batman, the animated series, and Batman Beyond, that they could have just made it a cheap kids show and cranked it out and kids would have bought it because it's Batman, right, or in this case, Transformers, but some effort actually went into it.
I've only seen I haven't seen any episodes that air on Cartoon Network. I've only ever seen whatever the Hasbro YouTube channel puts out, which I guess is either extended or shortened versions of the actual cartoon that they show on Cartoon Network. So
yes,
I'm so far out of Cyberverse stuff right now that I'm not even paying attention to it.
I get that. It's kind of an acquired taste too. Like I've kind of not fully signed on. I've watched it, but it's not really my thing. So
yeah.
So getting into other things that possibly aren't our thing, What do you think? Like, who? I know you guys probably saw the Bumblebee movie. I have not yet, but
I have not either. I know Ryan has seen it. Yeah.
So, what did you think?
It's good. I wish it was the film that had debuted in 2007, and I still like the 2007 movie. I still think it holds up fairly well. The sequel is not as much, but that's another story. But there's more places to go with this. It has better and more characterization to the Transformers than all of the Bay movies put together.
That's good.
I'm trying real hard not to just knock the other ones, because this was an improvement on those.
Okay, Mr. Breaking Bad.
I know. God damn it. Why do people text me yet?
I swear to God, Steve, it's every time that we are podcasting, his phone goes off.
I know. People hate me. I don't understand why they suddenly text me as soon as I'm podcasting. I shut it off now. I've just given up. But where was I? Yeah, the Bumblebee movie, I enjoyed it. I think it's the comedy didn't always hit for me. Part of it's because I'm old, you know. I'm not necessarily who it's aimed at, but there's so much more heart to it. So, like, if I'm telling somebody why I enjoy Transformers the movie, I'm talking 1986, so much. A lot of it is because that, despite the fact, you know, it's based around toys, blah blah blah, all the usual bad things people say about it. There's a lot of heart to it. It's just, there's more to it than just being an hour and a half, 2 hour commercial. And I'd say the same thing about this. It has more heart and more emotion to it than the Bay movies did. And there's more kind of weight to it.
Definitely good to hear.
My cats agree.
That's definitely good to hear, though. And so what do you think as far as, like, future films? Do you think, because I know that they kind of put the kibosh on it after, you know, nothing to do with the Bumblebee film, but just ahead of time they'd kind of killed their wanting to restart the film universe, as it were.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with that. It fits in with the Bay movies about as well as the other Bay movies do. Which is to say, there's a whole ton of stuff that you'd think somebody would mention, but apparently nobody bothers to mention it. It's kind of like that I guess they could say that, you know, somebody didn't reference or somebody wouldn't talk about that, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense not to talk about it.
Yeah.
Or stuff like that. So... But in terms of moving forward, I hope they just let it be its own thing. I hope that they do a Bumblebee 2, and I hope that they just decide to continue on. I really think they should just ignore the other movies. That's not a knock against them. I'm not trying to say they're bad or anything like that. I'm just trying to say this was a good beginning, and I really think they should just decide to build off of it. I think this is one of those weird scenarios where they shouldn't start out saying this is a reboot or anything like that. It's after it's been out and after it's run and after people have enjoyed it, they should just decide to say, all right, you know what? We're just going to do this going forward. This should be one of those rare scenarios where they decide to reboot after the fact.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's very good. I really think you'll both enjoy it when you get around to seeing it. I think it's going to have a lot of legs on DVD / Blu-ray / streaming, whatever they put it on. Although, I mean, it made a crap ton of money foreign, like way more than the budget, and more than enough that I think they will do a sequel, but... Yeah, we'll see. There's a lot of places they can go with it, and definitely it seems like they want to do something with Cybertron. I think you've both seen the trailers, so it's not much of a spoiler to say that the scenes of Cybertron will have, I think, fans and even non-fans smiling just because, while yes, the designs are G1 homages, they're also gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, I was one of the people when the Bay designs were shown off, I said, yeah, you know what? I don't blame them. It might be really hard to do Generation 1 in CGI, that kind of thing. They did Generation 1 in CGI. And it looked really good.
Yeah, because I've seen those pictures and I've seen those parts of the trailers. Yeah.
Although having said that, we're now 12 years beyond, you know, the first movie in terms of CGI and that kind of thing. So.
And thank God they've decided to go elsewhere other than Michael Bay.
Now.
Got to remember, too, if it weren't for that guy, we probably wouldn't have the franchise.
I understand that, but as Ryan has already said, the follow-up movies to the first one...
Not so good, yeah.
Yeah.
But having said that, it may not be Transformers to me, but it's Transformers to somebody.
Yeah.
And it's just as valid as Beast Wars or... Hell, I want to mention it now. You know, there we had pictures, again, same show that Black Arachnia showed up at. We had pictures of an Armada Optimus Prime.
Yep.
And I know actually quite a few people. So Mike's going to mention it later. Did a podcast about the Transformers comic line, which has ended. But anyway... When I was doing that, I got messages from people who their first exposure to Transformers was the Armada stuff.
Oh, yeah. Everybody has a Transformers beginning. No one's doubting that.
No, I know.
No one is ever, like, just because I scoff at the Unicron trilogy, or most of us that grew up with it when we grew up with it in the 80s and 90s and all that, and just look at the Armada trilogy or the Unicron trilogy and be like, that's not Transformers. Everybody's going to have moments like that. People who grew up with that stuff, that love that stuff, are going to look at G1 and say, that's not my Optimus Prime.
Oh, yeah. I've seen people grow up with it say that, like, oh, the G1 stuff is so bad. And I'm like, yeah, I can kind of see that, but... But talking about the Armada Prime, he's gorgeous.
And he is, yeah.
I always had a soft spot for... So when Transformers came back, it was with Robots in Disguise, pretty much, which was a Japanese show that they dubbed and brought over. But the figures for that line were terrific. And one thing with the Armada line that continued is a lot of the toys were really good. And really nice. And Optimus Prime was another one that I kind of like the design of him. It's a bit different. Like, it was Optimus Prime of a new kind of era. And I always loved, like, the little wrist guns on him. So I'm curious about this. And I'm happy that people who grew up with it, much like we did with G1, will get a chance to purchase, like, new versions and new... just updated / better versions of these toys, because they really haven't gotten the chance to. We've had, I don't know how many reissues of different Generation 1 figures, but Armada has never been redone, for example. And, like, the Armada Optimus sort of merger, I can't remember the name. I feel bad. But whenever you merged him with his other pieces and everything, sucked.
Yeah.
Had the posability of a brick. It was, like, less posable than Power Master Prime, I think.
Yep, it was.
I guess if the fans and those people got a version that was more akin to a great Optimus Prime than giant hunk of plastic. And hey, maybe some of the Armada figures will set Spada's house on fire. There's always that possibility.
Yeah, that guy's either going to die from having his house set on fire by Transformers or by KFC Double Down.
I don't know. Oh, God. God, I want those so bad. I don't have them here. It sucks. Yeah, I think it was a Megatron that nearly lit his... No, it wasn't Optimus.
It was Optimus, yeah.
Yeah, that nearly lit his house on fire. Good times. I wonder if this one will have that. They need to add that gimmick to it, if not...
Fire is the right of all sentient beings.
Yeah.
That's right.
Arson is the right of all sentient beings. No, I don't know. Like I say, I may or may not pick it up. I'm happy it exists, though. It's kind of about time the other lines got some love.
Absolutely. And the one thing I'll say about Beast Era Masterpiece, if they ever do Megatron from Beast Machines, they better do it right, and it better have a friggin' cloak.
I thought you were going to say as a head. No.
They made okay, that toy.
Okay, there's that too, but they made that. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh.
If they make
Beast
that
Machines
one.
Megatron is tough. Although, having said that, a lot of the Beast Machines toys that we got originally, like, I think it'd be a hard time improving on Jetstorm, who is just a fantastic figure.
Mm-hmm. And really, we got a decent Tankor too. And
yes.
I just realized something when I was looking at the graphics of the Bumblebee movie, specifically of like Soundwave and Shockwave, which I know John Bailey voiced. Mm-hmm. But do you remember Studio Draven back in the early 2000s? Like the Draven 3D Transformers Redemption?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that I remember. I didn't know the name of the company.
Yeah, it was Studio Draven. I used to follow that because I was a part of the fan dub community for the longest time. And it's still around, but it's pretty much like dead in the water because nobody has time in their adult life to actually sit there and mess with all that. But he did the first episode of it and meant for like a whole like season of like 5 to 10 minute episodes of that. But the Bumblebee movie, like, specifically when you look at the Decepticons, kind of reminds me of his designs for, like, the gritty, cartoony CGI look.
I also remember when Hasbro themselves redid the Megatron Optimus Prime fight in CG from the 1986 film, and it looked pretty good. It obviously took a long time. I can't remember which anniversary they released that for. I want to say 20th.
Didn't they like contract that out though?
Yeah, they did. I mean, it wasn't that like them themselves.
Was it like Dr. Smoove
and Randall? I'm not sure. I'd have to ask him.
I wouldn't put it past him because it looked right, kind of like their MO there. Like, so I don't know. It kind of looked that way.
I'm not sure, although with Hasbro, to be fair, they could just reuse, since they have the rights, they could have just reused the audio from the movie.
Well, I meant that, but I meant, like, the CG part.
Oh.
Hard to say. I don't know.
Oh, it looks pretty good.
Either way, I like CGI. I like animation, too, but I like CGI much better if it's done right. So, what else do you guys got? I know that the comic universe rebooted. I don't know what the state of that is now.
It's not. When does it start, Ryan? It hasn't started yet already, has it?
Nope.
Okay. So for the last 13 years, IDW has been the company that has had the Transformers license. And in that time, we've had ups and downs and back to being up again.
It kind of went up, then down, 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 down. Then up, up, up into stratosphere.
Yes, and with a few twists, turns, and going sideways and being cut in half lengthways and all that kind of good stuff. Ryan took over the... Yeah, poor Ambulon. Uh-huh. Ryan took over the pull bag a couple weeks ago, and he, Liddy Rick, and Genevieve Frank, Jen apparently on Twitter, basically did an in-depth discussion on the last 13 years of Transformers comics at IDW. And it was a great episode. You guys should go listen to it. It's over on the pullbag at Geekcast Radio Network. But yeah, I mean, it's coming to an end. It's the longest.
Well, it has ended. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did this. So we did the recording in advance of the release of the final two trades for the two final series of Transformers, although there's one more trade left to be released, which is the Fight Against Unicron, which is a mini series. But for all intents and purposes, the actual finales take place within Lost Light 4 and Optimus Prime 5. And oof, so another thing I did in advance, I ended up reading two of them online, but I asked people, you know, how'd you get into the Transformers comics? Because it's been running for 13 years, and not everybody that started reading it is going to be familiar with or grew up with Generation 1 Transformers. And it was just, it's always been interesting to be the number of people, you know, I've had people that are 16 years old hit me up and tell me how they got into it or why or when. And just interesting, the different age ranges, the different interests and that kind of thing. It was a comic series that had a lot for pretty much everybody. It's crazy to me. It was nuts for me to go back and look at. So it was kind of a retrospective, and I told everybody, come up with, you know, your positives and your negatives and that kind of thing. And I'm real good at being negative. I don't know if people have noticed on this show or any others, but I'm a master at playing devil's advocate and saying bad things, especially about franchises I love, Star Trek and many others. But I had a real hard time coming up with negative stuff for this series. It's scary to me. I feel bad for anyone who's, for the people who have to follow this up. It is nightmarishly good. Like, Last Stand of the Wreckers is one of the best individual trades and stories I have, period. Not just of Transformers or books or anything else I own, which I own, you know, hundreds. Actually, if you add in books, probably thousands. Anyway. But it was insane to me. And after it was over, I thought up and I remembered all these amazing moments and characters and arcs and everything else that I completely whiffed on or forgot about. And yeah, it's amazing that they got the chance to do this for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it well. I mean, there, you mentioned there's ups and there's downs. I didn't do the podcast to slag on particular people and particular runs.
Yeah, no, it but has its history.
Not good ones.
Yeah, it had it. Everything that has a history has ups and downs. You know, look at this podcast and how far we've come in 11 years. You know, it's one of those things where I'm glad I jumped on when I did. Basically,
that's because I kept bugging you, I think.
Well, it was partially you, but it was also Ender.
Lady Wreck definitely no. did too.
Well, she did, but no, the main reason Ender kept, because he was reviewing the stuff over at T-Formers or wherever, and he kept saying, oh, Shockwave, ooh, Shockwave, ooh, Shockwave, and Shadowplay, and all this and all that and everything else. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? So I went out and I started with Death of Optimus Prime, and then, you know, I basically was told, you start with Death of Optimus Prime, and then you go one of two ways, or you go both ways. You can go More Than Meets the Eye or Robots in Disguise. And I started reading them both because they were two very different things. You know, More Than Meets the Eye, when it started, was the adventure in space. And Robots in Disguise was basically robot politics when it started.
Yeah, it was super character-driven, and it's weird that they both switch by the end.
Yeah.
And it's deliberate because the characters switch by the end. We mentioned this in the podcast that by the end of the series, Megatron is everything Optimus Prime wanted him to be, and Optimus Prime is everything Megatron didn't want to be. And they both end up like kind of switching. It is, ugh. The entire series is just beautifully done. And if you're a fan of Transformers, and in particular, if you're a fan of Transformers who never necessarily got the limelight, you know, I mentioned it on the podcast that Skids is best known for being... Skids is best known for having Charlene give him a sponge bath. That is the extent of the characterization of Skids in 30 years of Generation 1 stories. That was Skids' highlight. And then you read this series, and he has...
so much more.
He has a ridiculously good and sad simultaneously arc. And then you look at Hot Rod, who has one of the best sort of up and down arcs that I don't want to ruin, because I know you like him a lot in IDW.
Oh, yeah.
So I think you'll be pleased.
What I love about IDW Rodimus is that not only is he the guy that I knew from the original series and the movie and all that, but he's more so because he's so off the wall wacky.
They let him grow up a little bit, but then he still makes mistakes. He's still Hot Rod, you know.
Like there's the one story arc, and you can remind me, and I know Steve is tuned out at this point, where they're dealing with Brainstorm.
Yes.
And there's this whole thing where Rodimus is like, "Look, his insignia, it changes." Like he has this really excitable, almost Han Solo kind of moment. And that's what I like about the guy in IDW.
And by the way, don't forget that during that same bit, he takes Ultra Magnus's nameplate that's in front of him and keeps messing with the letters. So each time it flips back to Magnus, it spells something different because Rodimus has been screwing with it. It's just little touches like that. I still like my favorite line from him was when Lockdown catches him. And he says, you know, that was some nice moves back there. Your friends must be very impressed. And he says, yeah, well, my friends don't all have flames on their chest. It's a lot to live up to. And then my other favorite line was when he confronts Tyrist. And the last line he tyrist him is, or sorry, Tyrist says to him, "So do you have any questions?" And Rodimus says, "Yeah, why are you such a..." And then it switches back to him telling the story, and he just goes, "Yeah." And that's when I started swearing.
Yeah. That's so cool.
He was fun. And, yeah, the whole ride was fun. And it ends surprisingly fittingly. If you told me it was going to end fairly well while I was reading Unicron, I would have said you were nuts.
Yeah.
But they managed to close it off well. It was smart letting the final issues of each series be the sort of codas that take place afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I would have... I mean, I've only read, and I don't even remember at this point because it's been so long since I've read it, I've only read the first three issues of Unicron. I had not even read Lost Light or Optimus Prime yet, and so far we're only up to volume two of each of those series there. We'll be doing more later this year inside the pull bag, but with the way Unicron was going after issue three, I'm like, I hope this is not the complete, like the Unicron six issue miniseries is not the complete end, that the actual series get to do an end, and I'm glad that they do.
Yeah, not only do they do, but man, it's really, each one has a very different ending that is perfectly fitting. And so to Steve, the best advice I can give you is, at the very least, if you ever get, you know, the time, money, and interest in it, for the love of God, start at Return of Optimus Prime and read, or when they release it, the Phase 3 compilation of everything. Probably be the least expensive way, but if you ever... It's hard to explain. There's so many characters that get so much more, you know, how many of the More Than Meets the Eye cast were ever used? Swerve, Brainstorm, Chrome Dome, Rewind. These are all characters that tailgate, that actually get some, like, depth. And even the characters you love, like, man, and Hailstorm, or Nicole could talk about this someday, too, but... The arc and the story for Cyclonus is so good.
Yeah, it is so good.
Especially the stuff with Whirl, which gets a
Yep.
It's good.
I've often said, and they know this, Nicole is in complete love with Cyclonus, so she is Cyclonus, and then Amy, a.k.a. Lady Rex, she's Whirl. It's just the way it is. I would suggest to Steve that I know Steve doesn't have the time, money, or whatever. I mean, I have most of the run on my Comixology, and
there you Steve go. Borrow Mike's Comixology.
Yeah.
Or
but,
move to Canada, earn more money, and then you can afford you to.
Yes.
Thoughts crossed my mind.
Yes. Go to a better country. That's right.
Although, holy crap, is it cold and snowy up here lately?
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, that's the only...
I mean, you get used to it, but... Yeah. Although, Mike, you were colder than we were for a little bit there.
Yeah, Chicago was nuts.
Yeah, it's funny, we had one day where we were the coldest city on Earth, and then you guys were colder than us.
Chicago basically said, hold my beer.
Well, no, we were still colder, but it was only for one day. You guys got, like, a sustained, vicious cold blast. Also, there's a difference, because, you know, we prepare, you know, we're used to a lot of this garbage.
Yeah.
And in Chicago, it's usually nicer, at least somewhat.
I mean,
it's like the difference between, though, like, Michigan weather, where you get, like, a foot and a half, 2 feet of snow, and we're like, eh, we can drive to work in it, although they were stupid and canceled everything, like, during that, like, after the polar vortex. Like, I got it during the vortex, but after that, they were like, oh, I'm gonna close school. But, like, you go to Texas, and they get, like, a quarter of an inch, they're like, gotta close the roads, everything's down.
Yeah, we have that here, though. There are places that do that here. Anyway, back to Transformers.
So,
hey, why has there not been a snowplow Transformer? That's a good point.
You could just modify Retgar. Add a snowplow attachment to him. What the hell was I saying?
Nobody knows.
We were talking about the IDW Transformers, and then at this point... So the reboot hasn't happened.
When is it happening?
It's 2 months from now.
So it's May?
We're in February?
April. No, April, that's right. Yeah, no, the IDW run is just... Oh, I was saying to Steve, suggesting to him how to do this, because obviously with two kids, a wife, and hopefully a future job or self-employment or whatever it is that he ends up doing... Reading 13 years of comics is probably not going to be the best use of his time, so I suggested that if he wants to get the whole story without, you know, needing to go in depth, go over and read Chris McFeely's Transformers Historia, because it basically chronicles the entire 13-year run. And I specifically bought that because I wasn't here for the beginning, before anything before Death of Optimus Prime and the Mike Costa run, any of that stuff. I never read it. I never had to get as mad as Ender got, or as mad as anyone else got.
As much.
So it was interesting for me reading the beginning parts of the IDW run because I hadn't done that before. But yeah, I mean, Transformers comics, yay!
Yay!
It's something about the format, too. I mean, there's more you can do in terms of... Comics are a format that, when used correctly, get to merge both visual and written storytelling in a way that both novels and then film obviously don't.
Because
they're dependent on one or the other. And when it's perfectly done and you get stuff like Neil Gaiman's Sandman or Watchmen or something like that, or Why the Last Man or pretty much everything from Brian K. Vaughan, you get stuff that can transcend it, both genres. Like some of the comics I've got, like those I've just mentioned, I would put up against the best of literature and film. And I don't say that lightly. And... the fact that More Than Meets the Eye in particular is a series that I rank with some of the best comic series is also saying something. It's extremely impressive. I never thought there would be a Transformers series I would hold up to that level.
Yeah.
That's a nice way of saying that, let's be honest, a lot of the Transformers stuff is just to sell toys and shit.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've said this before. Out of all of the U.S. generations over the last 35 years, because this year is 35 years since G1.
Oh, God, I'm old.
We all are. G1, Beast Wars, Beast Machines, Animated, Prime, all that stuff. I like it all for different reasons. But having gone through, and I've only gone through this since the pullback started, 2013, out of 13 years that the IDW universe has been around, I went through almost all of it in 6 years, you know. And I just absolutely love every bit of it. There are certain things where I critiqued it. There are certain things that I may not have liked. Yeah. Certain characters, Getaway's a dickhead, you know, kind of a thing.
Well, he'll be happy with his anyway.
But like, it was a new way to experience Transformers for me because I never read the Marvel runs, US, UK, whatever. I never read any of the Dreamwave stuff. I was not into Transformers. Closest thing I got to Transformers comics as a kid was the Wheelie storybook thing. There was a storybook based on Wheelie's origin with his parents and crap like that that my elementary school library had way back
I have when. All the Transformer coloring books and sticker books.
Good for you, little Ryan. Now go sit in the back of the class. No, I mean, I still
do. Anyway. I'm weird.
Steve, what else would you like to talk about since we've railroaded your show here?
No, I think that's good. It was more of a just catching up in what's new in Transformers and kind of what's interesting and what people actually probably will care about.
The only thing I'll kind of add in is just the Transformers trading card game, which Wizards of the Coast launched it. It was pretty clearly just a throwaway. They kind of dumped out Wave 1, and I don't know if they just had no plans to support it. I don't know if they just thought it wouldn't make any money. I don't know what it was, but they basically just kind of crapped it out and said, here, well, it's taken off to the point that it seems like there's actually going to be a competitive scene developed around it. And they've announced all of the cards that will be part of Wave 2, which is the focus is going to be on the combiners. Although having said that, they've just added the triple changers as well. Well, two of them. It's Springer and Blitzwing are the first two. And just they keep adding more mechanics to the game. For anyone who plays any other card games, it's a mixture between Magic the Gathering and... crap. What the hell's the Star Wars name? One, why am I asking you two? It's whatever the Star Wars one that's out now. It's not Imperial Assault. That's the miniatures game, which is really good. Whatever. Anyway, it's a mixture of those two kind of card games, and actually works really well. The transforming mechanic, especially with the triple changers, is well implemented. And the artwork is amazing. So they use the IDW artwork for all of the action cards. And then for the cards themselves, as in the character cards, they use the Legends artwork, and it's gorgeous. The cards all look amazing, especially in person. But yeah, it's good. It's interesting to me that they didn't think it was going to take off. Like, you know, what did you think was going to happen? Transformers has been around for 35 years. I actually know people that are just buying these because they love the artwork. So it's nice. And the game itself is a lot of fun. There's some good incorporation of the characters. The Dinobots are a lot of fun to play as. I'm so happy they're getting a second set of them. And I can actually have two Grimlocks on the same team, apparently. Which seems horrifically unfair because the Wave 1 Grimlock is an absolute beast. Anyway.
Is it the Fantasy Flight game Star Wars card game?
I believe so, yes.
According to everything I'm seeing on Google, it's just Star Wars the card game, which it even says that on the packaging. It's Star Wars the card game. There is no separate title for
this. There's a title. Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't collected a card game in a long, long time. So it's I think it's interesting, and honestly, like, if I had the money, I would buy them for the card art specifically more so than anything else. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty awesome that they actually picked up more than what they thought they would.
It's weird to me that there's stuff for Transformers that we haven't seen. It's been around 35 years. And yeah, there have been trading cards and that kind of thing, but never a card game that anyone's backed. And there's other stuff, like, you know, how is a weird one to me is how has there not been, aside from a really short-lived one, how has there not been, like, a Transformers MMO or
exactly
a Transformers role-playing game? Or there's all this stuff that this franchise has been around way longer than other franchises that have taken off in these genres. Like, Warcraft has only been around since the 90s, and it's had pretty much everything.
Yep.
Why isn't Transformers at it? Why does Transformers not have a dedicated board game? Or, it's weird to me.
Yeah. If they did do any kind of Transformers, like, role-playing or MMO game, I honestly would want it in the style of Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts 3 is so friggin' beautiful. The backgrounds in that game, the way the mechanics work and everything else, I'd want it in that style. If it was going to happen. Last thing I want to bring up, this is from Twitter, from KCW Caller. He is an artist on some of the Transformers books at IDW that have been going on for the last 13 years. He did a Spider-Man No More homage with Megatron and Galvatron. It's gorgeous, and I understand why he had to do this, but he put an ugly watermark on his own thing. I get it. He had to do it so no one stole it like that. But it says ugly watermark on Megatron's back.
Yeah, no, I know. When I read, so I saw his post as well. Mm-hmm. And when I read that, by the way, that's another thing to mention. The art in the IDW books and the Transformer books. My God, is it beautiful?
Yes, it is. Like,
oh, anyway. Yeah, so it's an homage to Spider-Man number 50, but I agreed with his reason, unfortunately, because when I saw it and I read his post, I thought, yeah, somebody's going to make it a t-shirt. He's right.
Yeah.
Like, some jerk's just going to be like, oh, I'll just steal this artwork and try to make money.
I replied to him and I said, look, I want this as a print that I can hang on my wall, poster size, whatever I have to do, just let me know.
Yeah, that's kind of become my goal, is there's certain issues of More Than Meets the Eye. So, for example, I talk about it on the Pullbag podcast, but the issue that got me back into Transformers, for example, I want that cover as a print, and there's other ones too, and there's a couple of the artists that sell prints of their cover work.
Yep.
So yeah, he should definitely, assuming it's okay, I guess the question would be, you know, does it fall under homage, or is he going to get sued by Marvel?
I think it would fall under homage. I mean,
I would assume so, but you never know. Some places and people are a little more uptight with.
Right. But how many artists have done prints for, like, cons and stuff? Not specifically for the con. Like, they're not in, but they've done prints to take to cons that are homages to other things.
Yeah, and I just mentioned, like, some of the IDW artists actually make prints of their IDW work, which it's obviously copyrighted by them.
Yep. Absolutely. I think that's about it.
I think so, too.
Okay. Well, it's your show, Megatron. Do your job.
Well, I know that. Well,
I gotta get back to playing Star Trek Online.
Hey, I've been playing that lately, too.
Oh, God. You guys can wax prophetic about your Star Trek stuff offline here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so the first four episodes of Discovery... Oh, you weren't serious.
Stop it.
Hey,
offline.
Yeah. So, anyways... Thank you for tuning into All Things Transformers, and until next time, transform and roll out. Yes, this is counterintuitive.
Beasts don't roll.
They rock.
They can roll.
Yeah, Megatron did have those roller skates for a while.
He
did.
Megatron, Rat Trap had wheels, Tarantulas had wheels, pretty much all of them at some point had.
Yeah.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.